Machine here, and you're watching Dorian's YouTube channel. 20 minute video for 2 minutes worth of content. Gold.
You! Get in there!
Hi there. You know, it'd be a real bloody shame if you missed out on the savings you can get from Gamersups using my code Thorin. Because you know what? Ooh, that's sharp. But not as sharp as if you pay attention and get 10% off, slashing the price of Gamersups and all their products on their website to only 90% of the usual retail value. Obviously, I love some Gamersups. And if you need to go to sleep, they've got the AFK blend, haven't they? Now, Na'Vi won IEM Atlanta, so it's the first notch for them on the ESL Grand Slam. If you don't know, when someone wins the ESL Grand Slam, the former Intel Grand Slam, it resets everyone's wins and you start over again the next season. You can't carry over wins you had before because Vitality won IEM Rio, therefore they win that edition of the Grand Slam. So we reset. The reason I say that is because even though Na'Vi actually won that ESL Pro League where Vitality didn't attend, that won't help them on the Grand Slam. They're now on one notch again, but they're on one notch and they're so far the only team with a notch, aren't they? Because it reset after Vitality won. There are three more events you can actually win this year, which, by the way, technically would win them the Grand Slam. They'd just have to win them all, wouldn't they? So there is obviously the Cologne Major counts as one. That's obviously a big one because you need one of those like prestige events along the way to get the Grand Slam nowadays. There's ESL Pro League, another season of that. They're the reigning champions of that. And then at the end of the year, there's a Chinese IEM. It's IEM Beijing. Now, this is also, most significantly, this is basically the most important detail of this event everyone will remember, is this is the first event Na'Vi won this year while Vitality was in attendance because the ESL Pro League one was where famously Vitality chose not to attend. So even when Na'Vi won that and sort of first staked their claim, it's just the real second best team in CS. One, everyone knew that Vitality is the team that beats them. And two, everyone thought, well, are you in there with it? If Vitality was there, well, actually, in this case, even though, yes, we'll get to it, there are extenuating circumstances for Vitality. Na'Vi did win while Vitality was at this event. Also, they not only won while they were there, they beat them directly head-to-head and eliminated them. So actually quite a significant sort of triple crown feat for Na'Vi, even though there is those excuse that can justifiably be brought up for Vitality. The point is, if you're Na'Vi, who gives a fuck about the excuse? I beat you, that's it. That's all I care about. Now, it is worth pointing out that in itself, true, there's only been one other event that Vitality chose not to practice for. They actually won that, the last one, the Blast Rivals. The only time this year anyone else could say that statement, like, I won a LAN that Vitality was at, was actually the first event of the year when Paravision won the Blast Bounty. And if you don't know, they didn't do that Triple Crown. They only won a LAN that Vitality was at. And also, obviously, that was after the play break. They didn't beat Vitality directly or eliminate them. So actually, what Na'Vi accomplished here is quite significant historically, even with the context added in. Now, let's be real. We'll add in the context. Vitality apparently didn't practice. In fact, more so than that, because remember, they didn't practice for Blast Rivals either. Which, by the way, they certainly could have lost. They just held on in the final and overcame some epic shit on the first map and then eventually won with a lot of the same quality you saw at the other tournaments. That one, it was easy to believe. You look quite similar to when you do practice. The difference is, this one now, with additional time in between, you could see this one did take its toll. I'll even show you on screen with some stats later. But more importantly, they were even, assuming this wasn't some elaborate, like, fucking Ocean's 11 level insane scam to trick everyone, they weren't even in the same room for most of the time between Blast Rivals and IEM Atlanta. Like, if people don't know, Apex and Mezzi were off like going to like fine dining in restaurants and doing that usual like Apex banter about British food or whatever. And then the other three, Flames, Zewu, and Rops, were off bizarrely doing some like sightseeing in Yosemite National Park. Which is like, okay, whatever. Now, coming into this event, there was massive pressure on Na'Vi, in my opinion, more so than any other event this year, because they were, I'll show you the field, the only other elite team at the event. There was Vitality, who obviously everyone expects to win anyway, because it's Vitality and they just don't lose lands. Then you've got Na'Vi, that's it. There were no more elite teams elsewhere. Like, who's even the next best team? Realistically, it's like Astralis in theory, right? Okay, Astralis' form's been sort of goff. You wouldn't expect them to win this tournament. Foot's been on the rise. Obviously, when they had the stand-in, they even basically were in position to beat Vitality. They got Lox back, but actually, he played really badly at this first LAN back, unfortunately. They didn't do very well at this tournament. Who else, aside from that, are you supposed to even respect at this LAN? Like, realistically, Liquid's a joke. FaZe Clan, this is when, yeah, they did all right at Blast, but even so, they were nowhere close to winning it. Bates, just whatever. Legacy's all right, I guess. That's about it. I mean, Game of Legion at this event did a good run, but they've only recently sort of found some form and become relevant at Tier 1. So you actually look, it's a very weak field. And crucially for me, because if you don't know, all the other really good teams basically were at the other event that was taking place on the other side of the world, at Astana in Kazakhstan, and playing PGL Astana, hence the video where Spirit won, and when they played Falcons, where Fury was in the mix again, and you all the new Mouse lineup, etc. So actually, this event, bizarrely, it's one of the rare times ever that PGL got the better field, and ESL, in IEM in this case, actually had the worst field, but they just had the two top teams in the world attending, didn't they? So in my opinion, there was already massive pressure on Na'Vi. Like, the real problem here is, it's not even that you had to beat Vitality, but if you weren't going to beat Vitality when they don't practice, twice at that, by the way, because of Blast as well, then you're really going to feel like, I'll never beat Vitality, will I? Like, in what circumstances could I beat them at that point in time? Then add in, actually, because the rest of the field is not even the sort of teams you'd usually expect to be in a semi-final of a big Tier 1 event. If you're Na'Vi, as well as at least come second, or you can only lose to Vitality, you can only come to lose to Vitality, you can only come second. Those are the only acceptable results. If they finished 5th to 8th, semis, but didn't lose to Vitality there, this would be shocking. So I think the pressure, actually, the only team at this tournament with enormous pressure, in my opinion, was Na'Vi. And then consider, before this tournament, they hadn't beaten Na'Vi since 2024. And they just lost that Blast Rivals final to them. And they'd also lost another Blast to them in Blast Rotterdam. So I think across the board, there was huge pressure because Vitality was playing silly buggers and shenanigans and not practicing, even though I'll get to why that is and it does make sense. Now, if you don't know, in fact, I'll just say it now, Vitality only attended this event for three reasons, in my opinion. One, because ESL know how... That ESL has these teams knowing how their bread is buttered, which is, we give you a fucking big share of money yourself, as well as your players, for winning the tournament. Secondly, I think it was just Grand Slam insurance. Remember, if they hadn't won IEM Rio, they'd have needed this event to close out the Grand Slam in easier fashion and without having to win it at the Cologne Major, as pointed out by, I forget if it was Rops, might have been Rops in my interview with him, although maybe that was later on part two. I can't remember, so hopefully I haven't spoiled that. If I have, then who gives a fuck? There's a little teaser if you watch this video. And then the third reason is an obvious one. It was part of a USA trip. They went to Blast Rivals before. They just stayed in the US. They did a bit of sightseeing and eating food and stuff. Then they came to this tournament and they did it as a double leg, didn't they? And also the logic here is because it's a weaker event, you can also just use what you did before and not practice. So to me, I actually think it makes sense they didn't practice. Even though in history, if they don't win this major now, it'll obviously age poorly. And if somehow Na'Vi beats them and this is where they got the confidence, yeah, that'll all age really poorly. But I actually do think when you're at the level Vitality is at, like a truly all-time great level, and you're winning every event and you're trying to go for all of history, you can look here and there and find yourselves moments of respite to catch your breath. I mean, in this case, the obvious angle would have been just don't attend the event. But then again, at the same time, I mean, because how the event went, they didn't actually end up getting all the prize money. But at the same time, you would have figured they'd be at least top four, if not the final anyway. They just won the Blast. Like, actually, I think it was fine to attend this event if I had a choice of them not attending at all and just sitting at home and saying, you know what, season's done for us until the majors. So in that sense, I don't think it's as big a deal as people maybe make it out to be. I don't think it's some massive failing on Vitality's part. I think they might have even pioneered an approach to how to do peaking for the biggest tournaments. If you don't know, in my interview with Apex, he basically fully admitted that actually when they look back on how nervy they were in that Blast Austin final, part of them does think maybe we should have lost before that to take some of the pressure off ourselves, or show that we can lose, or not build it up so it's the most like insane, like, this is the greatest number one favourite in the history of Counter-Strike at the major, they must win it. So they're aware themselves that pressure can play tricks on even the greatest competitors. So I can get why they did this. Have a tournament where even if you lose, you lose, but you've already got all the excuses built in. This isn't like we lost, but that's because we were being going so hard this season and teams caught up to us. No, when you lose this one, which you did lose, you obviously, well, we'll get into it, you lost in multiple circumstances. It's already easy to just, if you're Vitality crucially, not if your team's like Na'Vi, if you're Vitality, you can just hand wave and go, I already knew I wasn't going to be that good. I barely won the last event. We weren't even together. There's a million, it's really easy to excuse this on your end, in my opinion. And they're at the level right now where actually where their headspaces are and their practice level and when they're peaking, actually, to some degree, what the others do doesn't matter, does it? If they come out and play their 10 out of 10 game, they win every tournament, every match, every major, don't they? That's why they're probably the greatest team to ever play Counter-Strike. So I think the interesting thing for me here is when we actually go and look at Na'Vi's route, because Na'Vi's route starts out easy enough, right? They're playing Passion UA, who, remember, at this point in time, don't have Senzu. He's already on BC game. So it's not the most interesting passion you hear. If you go look at the result, they had one really close game that was an OT on Anubis. Yeah, don't worry, that was Passion UA who picked that one. If you don't know, I'll get to it later. Actually, Na'Vi's really good on Anubis. I mean, they even won this one. The key thing here is, this is even a win when the opponent picked it. And if you don't know, JT, the in-game leader of Passion UA, one thing I actually, and TC, the coach, one thing I appreciate about their approach is, they do something right, in my opinion, which is, because they're always an upset team, they specialise on maps that other teams dislike. So if you don't perma that map, they'll just play it against you and force you into uncomfortable circumstances. Think about a few years ago, 2024, when you had Elige on Complexity. They would force their way into that Vertigo, because if you're not the Vertigo permaban team, then it's probably your sixth best map in your league's practice. So we're going to get that win over you, and it's going to give us a chance in some series, and especially, obviously, the occasional decider as well, if it's not ends up being how the veto goes. So actually, this would even have been not the end of the world to lose us, but you didn't. You won it anyway. Also, I'll get to it later, Na'Vi is so much better than Anubis, and that's another key reason why they could potentially win the Major. They won their Mirage handily, which is obviously their classic home map, even got 90 rounds. Then you go and they played against Gamer Legion, who obviously from this tournament and on is on the rise. Like, they're a pretty legit team. You saw that at Blast as well. Listen, it was a interesting series because Na'Vi blew out the Inferno. By the way, the Inferno was actually the pick of Gamer Legion, if you don't know. Then Gamer Legion destroyed Na'Vi on Itch, which was Na'Vi's pick, and one of the maps they've really heavily been going into recently, as well as the Mirage. And then the Mirage was the decider, and it was a really close 13-11 regulation win. So you go and look at that performance. First of all, if we go to that ancient, I can tell you one problem right now. Look how badly they're fragged across the board. And Hypex, the Opera of Gamer Legion, gets off massively. Look at this round swing. This is like a life map. Meanwhile, Wonderful actually had a very bad swing. This is one of his worst maps, even though he's actually currently the best Na'Vi player. So not that surprising overall. On the Mirage, though, crucially, course correct. It's a really close game. It's a really good game. Immer even has a positive contribution. You get it done. You get your 60 rounds. You win out on the CT side. Nice little statement win. This is one of the other teams you might have to worry about a little bit at this event, but you've handled them. You've moved on in the event. Nothing too much to worry about there. It was generally, by the way, if you look overall, just a low fragging series all in all for some people. Immer didn't do well, pretty bad numbers. Mikaze didn't have a good one. Wonderful was just okay in this one. It was only Bit that was doing well. So actually, to win this series, that's actually pretty a nice little escape. This is what you call like a professional win, even though it wasn't an excellent performance overall. So in the placement game, when he guaranteed the playoffs, you know what's funny? They lost this one. And the reason why is quite significant, actually. But let's get to that in a second. So you lost to Legacy, who obviously we know now, actually, on the rise again, aren't they? Funny enough, going into Majors when these guys peak. So if you don't know, they went to CSC, the same tournament they won last year, but in the latter part of the year. And this is in the first season. They won the CSC. That was the one that they defeated the Falcons at, wasn't it? Even though they also lost to Falcons in the same tournament. People forget that. But they beat them in the final. So actually, this, even in hindsight, doesn't look that bad a loss. Also, you look at the loss. Legacy wins 13-11 on Inferno. That's Legacy's pick. Na'Vi wins actually mildly comfortably on Ancient. That's Na'Vi's pick. The decider is just two. Listen, you know what the Legacy players are like. They got some fraggers over there. So if you look at Legacy, you go down. Lato had a very good series. Damao's going well. Arts has an excellent series by rating in terms of like what he does on the in the actual game. You go to the decider, does too. Lato, who ended up being the MVP of CAC after this, just as mega. I think this player is mega. In the same way as Insane, he's way too good for MIPR. This guy is way too good for Legacy. I know Legacy's getting better as a squad and they're becoming a relevant team, but I think this guy, unironically, if he speaks decent English, could be like one of the better players. He could be a HLTV top 20 player now, today, if he was on the right team. I think he's a really talented player. They're very lucky to have maintained him in their roster and not have him go elsewhere. Meanwhile, you go look at Na'Vi. Yeah, Na'Vi's all over the place on this one. Immer went 4-16. I can forgive Alexi B doing that. Alexi B's in the Carrigan school of, we frag like shit, but our brains are just too powerful so we can make it work. You look at Immer's, right, remember, Immer's a comparable player to a Lato type guy. These are like aggressive, semi-aggressive riflers. Like, they certainly get some good spots. This is a really, really fucking shit performance by Immer. This is really, by the way, in general, he had a pretty underwhelming series. And actually, as you'll see later, in their team, he's really slipped down in terms of elements. He isn't the player he was in 2024 where he was the X factor. Now, he's just the player you just hope doesn't frag bad. And if he doesn't frag bad, you have a chance to win the series. So the reason why I brought up that significantly lost this game is because it means you don't get to skip to the semi-finals. And if you don't get to skip to the semi-finals, when the other group was Vitality, and Vitality lost to BetBoom early on, even though they could have 2-0 in that series. And then in the lower bracket, because they lost all the way up here, not the placement game, they win out, but that means they're going to play a team in the round of six, which is where Na'Vi's now going because they lost this. If you don't know, that's also what happened at IM Rio, isn't it? Because Vitality fucked around. Vitality had to go to the round of six where they played Na'Vi, and that was bad news for Na'Vi because even though Na'Vi, yeah, they lost the series, but that's okay too. They then had to play the number one team maybe of all time in a round of six match, even though they were the higher seed. Same thing happens here. Na'Vi goes to the round of six, and they end up having to play bloody Vitality, the worst possible draw you can get for this tournament field. But crucially, Na'Vi wins this one. Even though, by the way, it was close. Vitality could have 2-0'd it. But the crucial thing here is not only did Na'Vi go 1-1 in the first two maps. Think about how many times they've been really good on the first two maps. They lost the series to Vitality. But then the third one was a mega statement win where they destroyed them almost from the beginning to the end on Inferno heavily with zero CT rounds for Vitality in a pretty whack T-side. But you look at the series, and this is quite significant, because in the series overall, Wonderful's amazing. Wonderful generally as just, this is just one of the teams he plays well against. He not only played awesome at Blast Rivals, he plays great in this tournament and ends up being the MVP. You think last year at the Budapest Major, when they played in the Swiss system, they had that 2-0 series for Vitality, but it was 13-11, both maps, and Wonderful was going off completely. He just specialises for some reason specifically against Vitality, even though generally his level's also gone up. What a fucking amazing series. Three maps and he only dies 28 times. Monster Bits, excellent. Imma does better in this one. Mikaze, actually, by the way, doesn't even play very well. If you don't know, Vitality's been the main team that Mikaze has struggled against. Actually, he's having a hard time against these guys. Crucially, though, Vitality also plays like shit. Like, you go look immediately. Bro, Zero has more deaths than he has kills. Look at all his numbers. Zero's a stats monster, remember? Flames isn't on his game. A guy who's actually been having big performances recently. The guy who often has a chance to nick an MVP from Zero, admittedly because of his finals performances. This guy really doesn't activate until he gets to the final of the big matches, right? Even he was just okay. Even he died more than he actually got frags. So quite an underwhelming performance of Vitality. And by the way, here's the white pill if you're Vitality. Bro, we still almost won the series. We could have 2-0'd them. Admittedly, though, the decider was the blowout. Now, here's the key thing about the decider. Another absolutely masterful, monster performance and Wonderful. Look at this, 20-4 on Inferno. 102 ADR. Unbelievable shit. Meanwhile, Zero had 5 kills. Bit does excellent because it's Inferno. It's Bitferno, isn't it? Binferno. We're going to have to figure out a name for that one. It's baller. Mikaze does well. Everyone does well on this one. Everyone does well on the decider. So this has got to be, not only we won against Vitality, but the way that we won it, this is such a mega statement if you're Na'Vi to yourselves about what's possible. Because I want to just quickly show people. Here's how we know, aside from this overall performance that you'd never see from Vitality. This is how you know Vitality was much weaker at this event and that the practice did hit them. Because look at this tournament overall, IM Atlanta. So Na'Vi's numbers, 1.12, that's actually totally normal for Na'Vi. That's exactly what you'd expect them to be. Vitality as a team has a 1.06 rating as a team. Now that is absurdly low. If you go back to some other events, here's the Blast Rivals. The first event they played with low practice, 1.17. Almost similar types of map numbers too, by the way. What was the other one on this one? 12 played here, 11 played here, 1.17. Best at the event by far. You go back to IM Rio with the closer Grand Slam at 1.14, 15 maps played. This is a team where these are just absurdly low numbers. It's actually amazing they could have even been in the semis and maybe even gone on to win this event with how they did turn up. So to me, this one is way more about Na'Vi, actually. And the key thing for me is this. You think to yourself, that could have been the same bullshit that happened if we're Na'Vi at IM Rio. It's like, wait a minute, at the moment, the only team that can really beat me, especially in a playoff match, in fact, the only team eliminating me for events, if you don't know, the three events before this that Na'Vi was eliminated, it was all three times by Vitality. Right, basically, Na'Vi should be second place at worst in all these events Vitality's at. But the reason they didn't get to be at Rio is they had to play them the round of six. So look, you played them again in the same circumstances. This time you beat them. Well, let's be real. Even though it sucks if they're in peak form and they beat you and knock you out fifth to sixth, this is also somewhat the perfect time to play them. You want to play them either in the round of six. I'd argue in the round of six because then there's the time between the groups and that. And then you have, like, you can go away. It's the opening playoff game, so people come into the game fresh. They haven't had any, like, big misunderstandings or failures on stage. The semis would also be good. I mean, crucially, it's obviously key to play with a best of three, isn't it? You see how hard it is to win a best of five against them. I actually think best of five is one of the only angles you can shade against Vitality where you say, actually, that's part of the reason why they're so dominant also is who can beat them in a best of five. It gives them a little bit of more of an insurance, like that they can lose a map or two and they could still come back and win it, as Mouse found out last year, as Falcons found out last year. But you think of these results they had this year, it was so big to actually beat Vitality, no matter the circumstances. Because Vitality is actually the team that's been playing Vitality the closest, except for Falcons, because Falcons actually beats them routinely. Or I guess Fury has had the odd win, etc. last year. You go and look, consistently, Na'Vi, even since the second season last year, has been playing this team really close. And this year, they have been the number two and the team that's just right there with Vitality in every game. You think about it, as I said, that Budapest major last year in the Swiss, where it was super close. You had the Blast Rotterdam final. Could have been 2-0 after the first two maps, right? Vitality won those maps. They had the Blast Rivals final in Fort Worth. Could have been 2-0 after the first two maps. Vitality won those two maps, then closed out on the third. Remember, that opener on Nuke was the insane one where Na'Vi went... The first 11 rounds, they won CT side of Nuke. And there was that stat that when they were 9-0 up, you know, it was like out of like 72 or 73 times a team in CS2 had been up 9-0. Only one time ever had they lost, which is Aurora. And then it turns out, sadly, Na'Vi got to join that. But I don't think it was just Na'Vi. It's because they played Vitality, maybe the greatest team ever. And even if they hadn't had practice for that tournament, that hadn't fully taken effect yet. It was shown a little bit. There was the odd bit here and there, and they were slow to get going. But the difference is, this tournament, they were way more off their game. And then also, just consider for a second, the only blowout, basically, in that span of time I'm talking about, was IEM Rio. That was it. That was the only blowout. That was the one time where they... And by the way, Vitality was mega motivated to win the fucking Grand Slam and get $1 million in gold bars, weren't they? Now, if you go over to the side of Vitality, I want to just set this up right now. The excuse angle for Vitality is great. But I actually think this is about Na'Vi, not Vitality. And what I mean is this. You cannot underestimate, if you know competitors, how important it is. Think about how they all talk about visualization and being able to like have an expectation of something happening and to believe in it and to see yourself winning and to see yourself getting over the line and to see yourself in positive situations where you make the right decision and things are all happening so that when you get in that moment, you don't feel awed by the moment. You don't feel like nervous or second guessing. You just know if I do what I can do when I play at my peak level, I've got a chance to win this game. If you were Na'Vi, that feeling was slipping away because you never, ever got to see yourself beat Vitality. It didn't matter how well you played them. It didn't matter how well any individual played. It didn't matter what great calls you made, what awesome timeouts, what map pool pivots you had. None of these things mattered because after all of that and some great games, two of the best teams to watch play against each other, at the end, Vitality always won and we always know they did. So to me, it is really big to have seen yourself actually win the game in an official, regardless of the excuses that Vitality justifiably can make. In fact, I'll give you a very brief analogue to this, which is a little bit scoffed, but you'll get the premise. When in 2018, Astralis was the number one team, maybe the greatest team ever, see where I'm going here, they never ever lost to Liquid, even though Liquid at one point in time was a very firmly established number two who beat all the other contenders and the rivals and they would keep beating Astralis in the finals, but then they'd lose to Astralis, even if sometimes it was close on some maps. Where have I heard that before? Part of it was a psychological disadvantage, part of it was stylistic concerns, but one of the things people miss is this. It wasn't just... when Astralis stopped playing the big tournaments and declined some invites and became Blast Astralis and played the Blast Pro Series, that they lost to Liquid. The first time they lost to them was actually when Liquid had just gotten Stewie 2K and they went to that tournament at the beginning of 2019 called I Buy Power Masters. Now, what's funny here is, it's not that Astralis didn't practice, but that event was a little bit scuffed because it had some weird setting where there was like some security concern where they claimed like some bags hadn't been checked and they were worried that someone had like a gun or something crazy. Like, I think the event was in like California. There was some crazy angle where it delayed the final or something like that. And so that made the event feel a bit more scuffed. And I can tell you, some top pros at the time were like, nah, who cares about that result? That doesn't mean anything. I'll tell you what it did to Liquid, though, because they actually in that final beat Astralis for the first time on LAN in a final, and they got to feel, bro, we can do this. They aren't some unassailable team specifically just for us, sent to curse us and we'll never defeat them, and we're on some like fucking Prometheus where every single time we just feel like they're coming in fucking in this case, take our heart as opposed to our liver, or Sisyphus, which is pushing the mount boulder all the way up, and then doesn't matter at the end, it all rolls back down, we have to start again. No, they got that feeling that they could do it. And then later at Pro League, when they were Blastralis, they were able to beat them there. And I always have said, if there hadn't have been that play break, I think they would have beaten them at that major. I think they would have won the Starland and Berlin major, but that's a what if. Anyway, put that to one side. As I said earlier, also it's key for Na'Vi because it's a BO3. You already know BO3 is more forgiving than a BO5. And since they have firepower and player edge over you and Matt Poole and everything, because they're the greatest team ever, the less maps you have to play them, the fewer maps you play them on, the better your chance potentially to get the upset is. Also, I used to have a take about Na'Vi I've mentioned many, many times, which is Na'Vi also should be confident because they don't actually have to beat Vitality in theory. I always said it was Falcons, but now I'll even throw in some of the other squads out there. Who knows? Maybe it can happen from a Spirit, maybe even a Furia. But I always said, basically, if you're Na'Vi, what you actually need is one of those teams, like a Falcons, to upset Vitality for you, ideally eliminate them, and then you beat that team. Because haven't we all seen now that you can beat every other team in World Counter-Strike if you're Na'Vi? Just at the moment, not Vitality, or at least Vitality who practices, right? Also, to me, you did still have a chance to beat Vitality anyway. Like, let's be real, if you played them in a semi or a round of six, you'd have a chance there because it's a BO3. And then add in, at the major, for example, there'll be way more pressure on Vitality to win the major than there will Na'Vi. So you could argue if you'd have played them in the major, they didn't manage to at Budapest in the playoffs, that might be the moment where the pressure is on Vitality, actually. And Na'Vi gets the feeling, rarely, because they're number two now, of being the underdog. Then let's just throw in there, Wonderful just plays really, really well against Vitality for whatever specific reason. Like, if you look this year on LAN, listen, it is Vitality, so you're not going to have some bonkers rating. But a 1.10 consistently over 11 maps against Vitality and very nice KD. This is very legit from Wonderful. This is a team that, this is excellent performance for him overall. Now, I will say, once you beat Vitality and as early as the round of six, the pressure now is enormous on Na'Vi. You better win this tournament. Like, imagine the laughingstock you'll be if you just lose to BetBoom or, God forbid, Gamer Legion. I mean, I'm thinking of the obvious example where Mouse was heartbroken at the Austin Major in the semis where they didn't manage to beat Vitality. Then they beat them at Cologne in, like, the semis. Like, lol, we beat them, guys. And then lost the final to Spirit. And it's like, yeah, but you didn't complete the task. Yeah, great. In the short term, you beat your main rival that you couldn't beat before. That's big. But it would have meant so much more to win the tournament. And the fact you don't then go on to win the tournament is what will make people question you, isn't it? So going on, they then had to play BetBoom and Gamer Legion. And at this point in the tournament, they're already supposed to win just from the teams that are here. There is no other, even the, like I say, even the teams you thought had upset potential, like Foot. Foot went out way earlier, mate. Foot didn't even get to the low bracket match. Astralis, they went out without even getting to the playoffs. So you look at this field, you're supposed to already win this one, but fairly easily. Now, BetBoom, you handily beat these guys. You pick the Ancient, you win it fairly easily. They pick Nuke, you win that easily. In the series overall, what's not to like, right? Everyone's popping off. Also, this is the best Mikaze performance at the tournament. Played absolutely fantastic. It wasn't a great tournament for him overall, by the way. Didn't need to be in the end. Then in the final, you're playing Gamer Legion, inexperienced team to be this far. You win 3-0, but it wasn't like you was some massive blowout. The first game, you had a massive CT side on your Mirage. You won it 13-3. But here's what's interesting. That was actually Gamer Legion's pick. This isn't the era where you auto-pick Mirage if you're Na'Vi. They let Gamer Legion pick that one and smash them on it. Then you go to the Anubis, your pick, because at the moment, Na'Vi are becoming Anubis pickers because it's what works for them against Vitality. And it's one of the maps that's down there in the pool for most of the teams out there. And also, I'll get to it later, they're just showing fabulous form on it. This one's a little bit of a closer game, but even so, actually excellent performances. You won it from T-side with 7 rounds. Nuke, the third one, which was obviously Gamer Legion's pick. This was an OT win, but that's actually a big deal to win a statement OT game on Nuke. And then you win the final 3-0. You do close it out. And over the whole final, big numbers across the board. Like, Mikaze didn't have a great final, but 1.15 ratings, very good. Imahachi had an excellent final. Bit was awesome the whole event long. And Wonderful, understandably, won the MVP of this tournament. Totally justified. Like, if we go to here, Lato played lights out. He was insane. But Wonderful was also really fucking good. I mean, these are bonkers numbers for Wonderful specifically. Really, really high level. Bit was excellent. You go down though, Imma was, like, decent overall at the event. Helped by the finals performance. Mikaze was a bit whatever. Not, listen, you know how your boy Alexi B does. He's just a brain in a jar watching people frag, isn't he? Now, at this LAN, here's how overall Na'Vi performed. They had a slight overperformance because a weaker opposition, and obviously Wonderful was mega locked in for this one, wasn't he? But to be fair, he wasn't at a LAN with Molodoy, Monacy, etc., right? Shiro. So some of the other great AWPers weren't at this tournament, obviously. But even so, these are insane numbers. Like, this guy is a slept-on player. I always thought he was the most overhated player in Na'Vi. I get why people hated on him in the first season of 2024, because he looked bad. He had some of the worst stats ever for a non-IGL that won a major. You go look elsewhere. Like, you were having periods of time where JL was a bit streaky at first in that first season. Wonderful himself didn't have crazy numbers, but you watched him in the game. Yes, he would make mistakes, and he was a bit worse later in tournaments. But overall, he was still a very solid AWPer. He had a really nice style, crucially, in my opinion, for Blade system. Clearly players like system approach style. He's not getting the freedom of a Molodoy or a Monacy. And more importantly to me, that year, yes, he was more the middle of the pack player. Last year, I actually think he's secretly the reason that, like, carried Na'Vi, especially in the big tournaments, and he made them relevant and still kept them, like, in position to be a consistent playoff team and make the odd deep run, even though they weren't winning tournaments and making finals. You come to this year, he had the odd bit moment early in the year that was a little bit sus. He's been fabulous the rest of the year. He's, like, been a really, really strong player. So he's won his first ever MVP now. And that also just shows you how insane this project is, that collectively, it's like they can all win MVPs pretty much in this squad except LXCB, right? Big time stuff. So the key thing for me here is, I think if you look at Na'Vi's level, they are a true number two in the world. If you think about it, from EPL, which was in March onwards, so I'll show you here, that was this one here, where they beat Aurora in the final 3-1. From there onwards, the only team to eliminate them from tournaments has been Vitality. And except for that one time, because obviously they played them in finals other than that, except for when they had to play in the round of six, it means he's making the final every time too. So Na'Vi in every sense is number two. They're making the finals all the time. They win tournaments, they've won two. They only lose into the number one team, and now they've even beaten the number one team. And here's a little hot take for you. I think this Na'Vi is better than the 2024 version. As I said earlier, Wonderful wasn't as good back then. You didn't have a player comparable to Mikaze, because I actually think Mikaze in the last few months at his peak level is better than peak JL. Like, JL super peaked for that major where he was the MVP, justifiably so. But aside from that, it was more like specific rounds or maps or halves he'd give you a big performance. He wasn't some like superstar player for my money. Actually, Mikaze looks really dangerous. Also, he's a much more aggressive player who's sort of like making shit happen in the game. And now he's fully adapted to their system. And it's basically only Vitality, maybe the greatest team of all time, that it feels like he struggles against. So I actually think they just play better opposition and the scene's just a little bit stronger right now. That was the year where Vitality was a bit scoffed. Everyone knew that Nico was going to leave and then maybe Monacy too at some point to go to Falcons. That was back when you had FaZe was starting to fall off, weren't they? Spirit had only just come along and they were still working out the kinks and people were figuring them out. Mouse just didn't win Big LAN Arena matches at that point in time. I think you look now, there was no Vitality of this era back then. The superstar players individually could be good, but like Monacy was having a hard carry the G2 roster. Donk sometimes had to do absurd carry jobs in a very flawed Spirit, which is Matt Pool fell off towards the end of the year, and they were lucky. Magic's had that life tournament and life final to help them win that fucking Shanghai major, otherwise that would have been FaZe Clan who won that one, or a Vitality or G2 if they'd have made it through that portion. There's another detail though that I want to get into, which I think is actually pretty big, which is if you go to the map pool of Na'Vi, it's gotten so much better the last few months. Because look, their Mirage is still really strong, but it's not the one they always go to. They're picking a lot of Ancient, which they've got really, really good on. Admittedly, not that many teams necessarily just want to play the Ancient nowadays, but not that many ban it, to be fair. Then you go to, their nuke's improved. The key one is here, Anubis. And you're going to get tricked by the score. You're going to see 5-3. That's not even that crazy, is it? No, because if you go look at the Anubis, Anubis was a map they tried really hard to make work last year when the team had run out of ideas and was going to have to kick JL, etc. But they were never able to do it. If you look this year, they are one of the best teams in the world on Anubis. I'll show you. So you go all the way back. They lost to Aurora, but then they beat Aurora. If you don't know, Aurora are the Anubis pickers. They love the fucking Anubis. It's one they've hard forced ever since Vertigo went out the pool. Going 1-1 against them is pretty good. And the loss was a 13-11. Then you've lost the only other two times was to Vitality. the number one team in the world, and who were even insane on these two games. And both these games, you were in winning positions. Aside from that, you beat FaZe, where it was the one where Twisted taken over as IGL. You've beaten Passion UA when they picked it. You beat Vitality this time around, and you've beaten Gamer Legion. I actually think this map is what's now made the map pool legitimate for Na'Vi. Now they're in a position where it is a truly elite, world-class map pool that can match up against any team out there in the scene. If you remember, in 2024, they still had that scoffed one where the Vitor every single time was like, they pick Mirage, then the other team picks Nuke if it's available. They lose the Nuke, they win the Mirage, and then on the decider, like in Inferno, whatever, they have to just pull out the win. And it would make it really, really hard, because even though they were the number one team in the world making all the finals, it was so obvious where their weaknesses were. It's not as obvious actually anymore for Na'Vi. Then let's add in, if you want to talk about the strength of this roster, here's their team this year. This is on LAN for 2026. Boys, they are actually a better team than 2024, and they're much better than at the beginning of this year. Imma only has to statistically be the fourth best player now. And by the way, still the most obvious player you'd consider upgrading. Plenty of aggressive riflers who want to play semi-lurky and have input in the game. With that said, if he is truly being a secondary caller, and he's been a classic player on your Mirage, yeah, it might be trickier to move him on in that regard. But I think if you look at this team, you're almost FaZe-esque here. Alexi B can low frag, because one, you get more than you expect out of your fourth best player. Then you've got your trio of stars. You've got Mikaze, who's been this aggressive rifler, who's taken over against everyone except Vitality and looks really spicy. You've got Wonderful, who's actually one of the best AWPers in the world. He's just not Monacy, Zewu. I would even argue, like, actually, he can outperform statistically Molodoy. Molodoy's more streaky. Molodoy goes for the big haymaker, knockout punches more, and can sort of hit bigger heights, right? Then you've got Bit. These are insane numbers for the positions Bit plays. Still a fucking all-time great player, monster. Na'Vi did a great job keeping him. So this trio, this is enough fragging to get it done. This is enough to win any tournament, to win the major, to in theory beat any opponent. This is big-time shit. Alexi obviously has low numbers, but it doesn't matter if you've got a team like this, if you've got a coach like this, if you've got a map pool like this, if you've got a style and a system like this, you're not playing just free-for-all CS where the IGL has to frag out too. Also, he's not doing like a blitz and putting himself, or Big Azir and putting himself in the fragging positions, is he? Or even Apex on CT side on certain maps in Vitality. So this is a very forgivable. In fact, I don't know that Na'Vi has ever been better than this until you go all the way back to the Russian-Ukrainian, like that simple and perfect autumn boomichon. This is a very, very good Na'Vi lineup. Their issue so far is they just live in the same era as Vitality. So I've got to say, I think it's plausible they can win this major. They wouldn't be my pick, and I also concur with a lot of other experts. If it's not Vitality, it should be. Then I would go more towards the teams that have the crazy ceiling with the all-time great superstar players, the Falcons with Monacy, Spirit with Donk, maybe even a Furia with Moldoy, in case Serato can get in the mix there. Na'Vi, I think, is less likely to win than those teams, but they're more likely, Na'Vi, in my opinion, to hit a 10 out of 10 or a 9 out of 10 level and consistently than all those teams are except Vitality. So it'll all depend for me if they play Vitality directly and if they play them in a best of three, not a best of five. And if they don't have to play Vitality at all, then I actually think suddenly that's where it becomes more interesting, their chances to win the tournament, because in theory, they're favoured against any other team. They've got the system, they've got the calling, they've got the fragging, they've got the rolls down. Now the map pool's coming online, they've got that little Anubis cooking off on the other side of the stove, ready to go against anyone that's not called Vitality. Since time immemorial, great artists have been supported by patrons who believed in their work and wanted to contribute to their efforts. Well, what's more fitting than the greatest esports content artist being supported by my patrons, the Skrilluminati? So this video and the others on my channel was kindly supported by Toucan, Nikki, Jason, Jensen Gore, and you know it. A special thanks always goes out to Jerky's Minion. Would you like to ask a question in my video AMA? Want teasers? See who the upcoming guests are? Maybe you want to suggest a topic or a guest for my content, or take part in one of those lengthy discussions where you get to set the topic. If any of these perks appeal to you or others, put your money where your mouth is and join the Skrilluminati today. Where? In the description box, there is a Patreon link.